thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, boy, it's the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio, live from Lanham or New Carrollton. That's Lanham.
From our studio.
Our studio in Lanham, Maryland, Prince George's County. I'm your host, Wally. And
I'm just a regular guy.
Give me your name, sir.
Will.
Will, see? Not being difficult. Today's a big day. Man. Everybody's happy. Last week we talked about Kerry Rhodes. This week we get to talk about Jason Collins. It's gay pride. We'll get into that. But like I said earlier, it's the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network. You can check our podcast on the Eyes Radio Network at www.eyesradio.com. Eyes is spelled E-Y-E-S, radio.com. Such shows on there are Noise, which airs Mondays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Backfield Radio, which posts their show anytime, just like us. And a show that's not on the Eyes Radio Network, but who's cool with us, Clutch Sports Radio. And you could check Darwin, that's my homie, who's the host of the show, at www.darwin-sports.com. Darwin is spelled D-A-R-W-I-N. And also check out our homies, Voice of the Fan. Their sports podcast show is at www.blogtalkradio.com/the Voice of the Fan. Folks are cool with us. They're entertaining sports show just like us. If you've been listening to us, you know you hear us all the time plugging them. So make sure you check them out. Check out my homie, Big Phil Company. Y'all know how it is. Also, we have our show syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. The site is managed by our good friends from Apogee, so you make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Exactly. Jason Collins comes out, like I mentioned earlier.
Everybody's I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm glad. I always have a belief that if you admit and you live your truth, no one can use it against you. So I'm happy that he had the courage to come out and, make a statement about his sexuality, which really is his personal business. But everyone's celebrating him. Congratulations for coming out and saying you're gay. Do we have to talk about it anymore? Because I'm sick of hearing about it.
I mean, I'm going to mention some stuff about it. You know, I'm show my respect. Like Will said, obviously, you know, it's a big relief for him, I guess, you know, to come out with it. He doesn't have to live a lie. I guess he was living a lie. For me, it's not a big deal. He's gay. Who cares? I don't even think it's a big deal him doing it now, because to me, it's not holding any clout, because chances are, dude isn't going to be signed in the NBA because he's a bum. That's nothing about being gay. It's just the truth. He's a bum.
You really feel?
Like, it's not about, you know,
well,
what I mean?
Well, no, I think
he's a free agent.
Yeah, I think this would have had more clout if he were, like, in his fourth or fifth year and came out and said, because, you know, he's in the prime of his career. But right now, he's kind of in a twilight.
Dude averaged, like, 3 points last year, man. Like, why are we talking about a dude who averaged 3 points? I mean, to play devil's advocate, who's to say he's coming? He's staying it now because he wants to get signed. Now is a chance for him to get endorsement deals. I don't know. I'm not like clowning. I'm not again.
Making
I have
light
against
of the situation.
I'm not against. I'm not against anything. I'm just saying, like, he's coming out now. It's like, all right, you're a free agent. I think in a way this can make teams want to sign you because they want to have the first quote unquote out there gay person, gay
homosexual.
Play homosexual. Is a gay a bad thing to say?
Yeah, I think it is.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean homosexual. It like that. Like, I call the Washington Redskins. I still call them the Redskins, so I guess that's the Red Tail. That's what Red Tails. That's what I want to call my team, the Redskins. But no, like, he's a homosexual. Being the first homosexual to come out and actually be on the roster, I mean, there is some appeal to that, I guess. But at the same time, to me, it's like, all right, well, big deal. Like, I don't care. I really don't care. It doesn't do anything for me.
Absolutely agree. But on the flip side, I will say this. I think that, you know, Mike Wallace came out with a tweet.
Yeah, I don't like girls?
Yeah, you know, with essentially saying that all the beautiful women in the world, how could you not like women shaking your head? I also think people have to be understanding and not condemn people who don't necessarily –
get it,
get homosexuality and aren't for it. Mm-hmm. I know the politically correct thing to do is you know, and I'm, you know, I'm a very progressive person. I believe that homosexuals should have their rights. They have the right to be married and, you know, go through the headaches that everyone that's married goes through. But at the same time, you know, if some people, for religious reasons or reasons that they choose not to go into, don't agree with it, you know, don't knock them because it's their opinion.
Oh, yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. To me, the thing about the whole, you know, who's against it, whatever, people have their opinions. They're going to say, I mean, it's going to happen. They're going to have that idea. That's their idea, religious or whatever it may be. My whole stance on that, for me, just me personally, only God can judge you. So for me to persecute you, that's not my place. I may not agree with it. I may not. But it's not up to me. You know, it's up to only God can judge you. So I'm not into it. But at the same time, I just think that it doesn't mean anything because you hold no clout because you're a bum. Like, truth be told, as an NBA player, you're a bum. You might bust my ass, though, like, in a game.
Bust your ass? Pause.
Pause. You know what I mean? Like, in a basketball game, you may get out on me in a basketball game. Mm-hmm. But the same, and that you're better than me. I'm not an NBA player. But in the realm of the NBA, you're a bum. Like, you hold no clout to me. You know what I'm saying? But I will say that there'll be a lot of, like, people talk about Manti Te'o. There's going to be a lot of jokes in the locker room. Like, a lot of jokes.
Oh, yeah.
I won't lie to you. I don't get athlete locker rooms. I don't like them. I don't think they're cool. Like, it's the same thing about a gym locker room. I think it's like, I want to say something else. Let me stop. It's the most weirdest place ever. So, like, I don't like dress. I don't dress up in the locker room because, you know, everybody's too free. Nearly willy with their, you know, yeah, nakedness. And I think the male body's the most ugliest body in the world. So, like, I don't want to see it. So, it's nothing about being gay. So, like, I can only imagine, like, he's in a locker room full of dudes. He's happy. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking. I'm just saying he's happy. I don't mean. Like,
all right, man. Before you get yourself in any more trouble, man.
And no one should feel bad about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's in a rhyme. Like, all right, if you were in a room with a bunch of naked chicks, like, really, aren't you happy?
Exactly. I am.
So he's kind of happy.
Yeah, like, I get what you're saying, but
I would never be comfortable in around the dudes, like, and I don't even like, you know, I just walk out. You know what I mean? I'll take my shower at home. Like, I'm that serious. But anyway, big ups to Jason Collins, man. I'm glad you came out, man. I know there's like jokes. You 7 foot, man. I hope nobody drops the soap.
All right, but to the next story that I'm tired about hearing about and talk about.
RG3 now.
Oh, yeah. We're not doing.
I had to add on the outline.
So we're X-ing this.
No, Tim Tebow. He's gonna be talked about. You gotta talk about Tim Tebow.
Okay. Yeah. To something more scathing and scandalous. In the next 2 days on the ESPN ESPN the magazine, there's an article, a profile on Robert Griffin III that they're going to put out. And essentially within the profile, he says that, you know, he's learned from his lesson. And, you know, next time when he's really hurt, he'll tell Shanahan to pull him out. He goes essentially just short of kind of blaming Mike Shanahan for not pulling him out of the profile. I have one thing that I'm very tired about hearing about this because this, you know, it's almost.
It's not news.
It's not news. It's not newsworthy at all. But around here it is because people think of RG3 as Black Jesus.
But it's not just RG. It's just not here, though.
Specifically here, people, you know, think of him as Black Jesus.
Yeah, I call him Black Jesus.
Okay.
He's Black. I mean, Black Jesus of football. I don't call him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
I mean, I'm not idolizing him, saying he's. Like Jesus.
Yeah, I just have my feelings are either, you know, be clear or shut up about it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If you're going to come out and you're going to say, I'm going to blame Shanahan, then blame Shanahan. But if not, just shut up about it because the more you talk about it, it's only going to make bigger division between you and your coach.
Yeah, stop doing the Dwight Howard thing. Just be straightforward.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. But at the same time, I don't think he's saying – I think people – around football and even, like you said, around here, they're breaking it down too thoroughly. Like, how I looked at it was he regrets coming back into the game. That's it. I don't think anything about Shanahan. Like, anything about Shanahan. He's obviously stating that, yeah, he was surprised to me that Shanahan let him play, but I don't think he's blaming Shanahan. I look at it like, all right, he's mad he played. Like, that's how I look at it. He's mad he played. He should know better. Like, we all in life regret doing dumb things. You know what I mean? After the fact. Like, if I, like... If you did something,
is always 20/20.
Exactly. So at that time, he was like, you know, all athletes. I told you a number of times. All athletes are going to be like, I want to play. If they can walk, they feel like they can do some damage. He's no different. But he's saying that he wish he had the hindsight and was smart enough to say, okay, man, I'm still 20. I'm 22, 23, whatever his age is, and I still have a lot in my career to go. This has now set me back. You know what I mean? And he's regretting it. He's regretting it. That's all it is to me. I don't see a big deal into it. And for anybody to start analyzing, y'all just trying to make news out of nothing.
And speaking of making news out of nothing, Tim Tebow cut by the Jets on Monday.
Yeah.
News out of nothing.
Out of nothing.
Let's go to the next one.
But I will say this. Somebody on Twitter, they had a good suggestion about Tim Tebow, what he should do. And I'll give him a shout out later, though. But said Tim Tebow should go to CFL. That's like the minor leagues for him. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's the greatest thing for him. Practice. Actually, one of the CFL teams told him that he could come and be the backup quarterback.
A backup?
Yeah.
I mean, anything that, for him to work on his release, he can't throw, so might as well fix it. CFL, there's no pressure.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for keeping that one short. Yeah. Tomorrow, we can rock the red because the Caps in the first round face the Rangers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. How do you feel? Are you excited? Do you think they can do it this year?
Yeah.
Do you think this year will be different than previous years? Are you your expectations lower versus previous years? What?
I think my expectations, because I'm a Cap fan, is always when you're a fan of a team, you expect them to, win it all. Like, once you get to the big dance, you expect it because you're a fan for them to win it all. So, true. Obviously, you're clouded with that because you're a fan. Just like I had the Lakers beating San Antonio. I was clouded in my
game. See how that one worked out
for
you.
Yeah, exactly. Even when we're down 2-0, my mind was clouded. But I am confident with this team because I like the way Ovechkin's playing. He's led the league. He ended the season leading the league in goals. So when people thought he was done, he showed you that, hey, you can't forget about greatness. I always say you can't neglect greatness. If you you may struggle, but that greatness is still within. It's all about your drive. And obviously he had his drive back, and that's helped. And that's obvious, and that's definitely we definitely have to give credit to Adam Oates and putting Ovechkin back at right, putting Ovechkin at right wing so he can do damage. So greatness to me can never just disappear unless you just don't have the desire to be great anymore. So obviously that came back to him. Now he's in talks again of being the best one, probably up there being the best player in the NHL. So you have that. Now and I've always said this, in any postseason format, if you have the best player on the planet or top two, top three, whatever you want to call it, on the planet, you have a great opportunity to win it all. I don't care what sports you play. So I think for Cat fans, they should just hold that, knowing that they have the best player in hockey. And I said, I'm a homer. The best player in hockey about to do the damn thing.
I agree with you. I think this team is different than previous years just because that what was it? I think it was like the third from the last game of the season when they had to play Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And with the opportunity to really close it out and solidify that three spot.
Yeah.
I think that was telling more than anything of years past for this team. And also it just seems like this team feels more confident with Adam Oates as the coach. You know, Dale Hunter, former player here, he played on the last Caps team to make it to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
But I just feel like this, with Adam Oates, he's putting the players in a more comfortable position, and they're better able to communicate with Adam Oates, and it's showing dividends on the ice for him. So I'm excited. I think the anything short of the conference, sorry, we got Knicks distracted by the Knicks. Knicks up 11 nothing.
That means nothing.
You're right. It doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. Still first quarter, 7 minutes left. Sorry to get detracted.
Yeah,
it just means that this team is, the expectations to me are kind of lower for in general.
Yeah.
I think nationally the expectations are lower for this team. So I think they'll actually thrive. And anything short of the Eastern Conference Finals to me would be a bust this year.
Well, expectations are low because everybody already pronouncing the Pittsburgh Penguins to go to the Stanley Cup to play the Chicago Blackhawks. Excuse me. So, for the last couple of years, don't forget the Caps have been the favorite. For a couple of years before that, the Caps have been the favorite to make it to the Stanley Cup because they had the best record in the league. So, like you said, Will, expectations are low. The Rangers do fade. The Rangers are competitive, and they're a very good team. They've knocked out the Caps last season. This season, the Caps, I believe, they lost the season series with the Caps. I mean, the Caps lost the season series with the Rangers. So it's a good team, good goalie, good defense. So we'll see what happens with the Caps. Hopefully, like Will said, they get past the first round. Let's go to baseball. Nationals. Adam LaRoche is struggling. The Nationals right now can't beat the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, they let go Michael Morse right now. And Michael Morse is actually hitting 250, playing a good doing a good job for the Seattle Mariners. Question to you, do you think the Nats made the right decision letting Morse go, you know, knowing that what's going on with Adam LaRoche?
Well, like we said at the beginning of the show, hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah.
I don't think they made the right decision letting Michael Morse go. Well, excuse me. I'm not going to say I don't think they made the right decision letting Michael Morse go. But, you know, you had to sign back LaRoche after the year he had last year. You know, Golden Glove, led the team in
home
runs.
Silver Slug led
the team in home runs last year. He's a left-handed back you can put in the middle of the order. A very good defensive first baseman. Michael Morse, a young guy, has a lot of power, up-and-coming player. I think he has like 7 home runs now. And like 20-something RBI, playing for the woeful Seattle Mariners.
And that depressing state. They ain't terrible. They like the same. They like the Nats. I mean, the records aren't that.
Well, yeah.
If you're gonna say woeful Seattle, if you're gonna see the woeful Seattle Mariners, you might as well say the woeful Nationals.
Well, the Nats actually went to the playoffs last year.
This is not last year. The fans had something. We're talking about this year. We haven't this year. This is not last year.
Well, the fans had something to look forward to.
No. Stop it. That was last year. It's this year. You can't do that, man.
I can, because you know why? I have this microphone and these are my words. You're right. I can. Thank you. Appreciate it. So I'll keep going. No, but
no comment, man.
I just think, you know. He's struggling right now, so you know, only time will tell. Was it the right decision? So,
you know, I've always stated that they should have kept Michael Morse over Adam LaRoche. I said that because Michael Morse is younger. He's a better hitter, more of a consistent hitter, in my opinion. Michael Morse is Adam LaRoche is a power hitter, but he's not the most in terms of average to me. Michael Morse to me, when I watch him play, is just a better hitter. He goes the opposite way. He can do a lot more with the bat. Has power. Now, obviously, Adam LaRoche is a better defensive first baseman. But Michael Morse, the year that LaRoche missed most of the season, played first base at a high level. So we'll see. You know, like you said, Will, we'll see how it pans out. But I think Michael Morse offensively will be a better player than Adam LaRoche. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, speaking of baseball, let's go up 295 for your team, the Baltimore Orioles. Are they having a problem with their fifth starter? And who is the best option for the spot?
Well, at first it was Jake Arrieta. He fizzled out. Didn't pitch too well. Zach Britton had the opportunity two nights ago and looked bad. I don't know. Honestly, I wanted it to be Zach Britt. I wanted it to be Jake Arrieta, but these two just haven't performed. So maybe it'll be Steve Johnson, like my man Jeremy Gordon suggested. He said Steve Johnson may be the next best thing for the Orioles to for the fifth starting rotation. Everybody else's pitch have these. Well, not everybody, but let's say Hamill and Chen have pitched well. The rest have struggled, and Tillman looks like he's doing well, starting to pitch better. So it's going to be hard. This is going to be the fifth starter, but I'm looking at Steve Johnson, like my man Jeremy said, and or maybe you may see Juergens or Freddie Garcia, who right now are AAA in Norfolk, Virginia for the minor league affiliate team. So hopefully we can get one. I would love for Jake Arrieta to pitch well, continue to pitch well in the minors. He pitched well his first start. And hopefully he can continue that and get confidence and be up here with a big ball club.
All right. Now let's go to the next subject. Friend of the show, Skylar Diggins, signed with The Rock. Jay-Z, if you don't know what we're referring to, Skylar Diggins has officially signed on to let Rock Nation Sports become her agent for her in the WNBA. Robinson Cano, then you got Victor Cruz. So, you know, they're getting a nice little roster there. But back to Skylar Diggins. I'm very happy for the young lady. I think, you know, you got a guy like Jay-Z who has a proven track record in business, not only business but in, you know, hip-hop. he can try to do some things with her from a marketing standpoint and, you know, take her to a certain level that no woman basketball player has been at. And I see you snickering.
What do you do with Bleak? What do you do for Bleak?
What do you do for Bleak? What did Bleak and Siegel do for themselves?
Where's Siegel at?
Look what he's doing for J. Cole. Look what he's doing for J. Cole.
Where's Siegel? Where's Siegel at, son?
He locked up.
Siegel's doing the thing. Where's Siegel at? Where's Bleak? Bleak is supposed to be the next big thing. Where's Bleak at? Bleak
I guess he didn't work hard enough.
Bleak was supposed to be his road dog.
If he died in his will somewhere.
All I gotta say is, man, somebody, and God loves you, Jay-Z. I'm not gonna lie to you, because Beyonce is Skylar Diggins. That's all I'm gonna say. And Riri on the side. So I that's all I'm. God loves you, man. So you must have did something in your past life. Man, I don't like Beyonce more because she's affiliated with you, but I can't dislike Skylar Diggins because she's a kid and she don't know any better. So, but she's a pretty girl. She's a pretty young lady. So, Skylar,
if you're listening, you're probably not, but, you know, congratulations.
Congratulations. I wish the best for you. And also, you being drafted by Tulsa, that's a great thing.
You know what sucked was actually the Washington Mystics were supposed to get the number 3 pick.
What happened? I didn't even see the draft. I didn't know she got drafted until later.
Something in the lottery where, you know, Tulsa jumped ahead of, by luck, jumped ahead.
Oh, she would have been here.
She would have been here.
And we could have interviews with Skylar Diggins.
Yep.
That sucks.
It really does. But, you know, like I said, congratulations to her anyway.
Yeah, and also.
We'll catch you on the rebound.
And we will. And we will play our Skylar Diggins. You love that. You know, you love Wally and Will part.
Absolutely. We're going to ride that out to the Will's fall.
Yeah, we're going to ride that after the break, too. You know how we roll.
Mm-hmm.
We love you, Skylar.
Yes, we do.
Smooches, baby.
But anyway, let's get to this past Saturday. Sergio Martinez returned from his, I think it was almost 9-month layoff to come back in Argentina and fight Martin Murray, which was a very interesting fight, to say not the least. Yeah, interesting.
What do you mean by interesting? You do scorecards.
Well, I actually didn't do that scorecard for that one.
Okay.
Because I actually didn't, because I didn't catch that one.
Oh, you watched the other one?
Yeah, I watched the other one. Well, because, you know, actually, you know, they said there was a huge thunderstorm.
Yeah.
At which prompted them to move the fight up a little bit.
That's true.
But I did end up catching the replay of it. Sergio Martinez, you know, he was coming off of the knee surgery and the hand surgery. He just doesn't look the same at 38 years old.
He does not.
He looks like, you know, he wants to fight with that same style that Roy Jones used, with his hands down to the side, and relying on his reflexes and footwork. Can't do that.
Yeah, age is a beast.
Yeah.
Age is a beast.
Yeah, some people you can just get old overnight, especially if, you know, you aren't in the ring competing, you know, every 6 months at least. You know, this past, he's been off for 9 months. They said that, you know, he has more knee damage, and he'll actually take the rest of the year off.
Yeah, he needs to.
He should, and this brings up, you know, kind of what's next for him. Where does he go from here? He's 38 years old. He may have, you know, after that performance, you know, there's a lot of blood in the water, so you'll see guys that want to come at him that'll be willing to fight him, you know, specifically big name guys, you know. Like maybe a Canelo might want to fight him. You know, I definitely know that Junior wants to get back at him.
Of course, but he's been wanting to get back at him.
Yeah, he wants to, you know, he thinks he broke him. Yeah, actually, after he saw that performance, I'm pretty sure he wants that return match, that rematch. Martin Murray, you did yourself proud, and you actually going to put yourself in, you know, contention for more big fights after the display he put on this past Saturday.
Yeah, and that's like the second fight that Murray got cheated. I mean, supposedly got cheated, lost to. Well, I say cheated, but didn't get the favorable end of the decision. Felix Stern, who's to me a good boxer who hasn't got the respect since, you know, what he did to Oscar De La Hoya. You know, in the States, he hasn't got that respect. And then you got what happened with Sergio Martinez. I watched the fight. I mean, Murray scored a knockdown, and honestly could have had two if the referee called it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and how I look at it is Murray won the fight. You know, if the referee scored it right, Murray wins the fight. So I look at, like, Murray does have a case. I mean, obviously, if I was Murray, I would try to get a rematch and finish the job if I was him. But if I'm Sergio Martinez, he's out of my league. Yeah, you're not on my money level. You're not on my money level. So, I think Sergio Martinez, he looked done to me. I think he's Canelo. if I'm Canelo, if I'm Roy, I'm sorry. If I'm Mayweather, I fight this kid. I fight Sergio Martinez now.
No, I don't think that fight will happen just because of the fact that Sergio Martinez doesn't bring enough money to the table.
But I know, I think it's a nice draw, and Mayweather still looks Mayweather draw. Let's just be real with the individual game. Guerrero ain't a draw. It's really Floyd Mayweather Jr. You get what I'm saying?
He's true.
So Sergio Martinez is a bigger draw than, you know, Guerrero.
True.
So I mean, Mayweather. Other than, to be honest, just be real. Other than some of the other, obviously Adrian Broner could do, but other than Manny Pacquiao, with the draw, we're talking draw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really, who's out there? And Canelo right now, because Canelo, he's starting to get up there. Who's really going to draw? You know what I mean? Like, Mayweather's going to make you regardless. He's going to make you.
You have a point.
So, to me,
take him down. Well, Marquez, but they already fought before.
Yeah, I think, that's true. Yeah, they already fought. So, I think in terms of, you know, a decent draw for Mayweather and someone I think Mayweather knows he can beat, why not?
I just don't see the fight happening, but, you know, anything can happen. Speaking of anything can happen, Danny Garcia defeated Zab Judah.
I knew it was going to happen.
I think if Zab Judah had stayed focused, he probably would have beaten Danny Garcia. But, as we saw over the last three rounds when, you know, Zab Judah clearly won the last three. But Danny Garcia, you know, he just kept coming forward and boxed, used his jab, and, you know, ultimately outpointed Zab Judah. I think one of the referees had it by a wider margin than
one of the judges.
Yeah, one of the judges. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was that wide, you know, it was that, you know, that big a discrepancy in scoring, but Danny Garcia clearly did beat Zab Judah.
Yeah, Danny, definitely to beat him in Brooklyn, Zab's place. Danny Garcia is doing a lot. I think, to me, Danny Garcia doesn't get enough respect. That's just, I think people always think he's gonna lose. When I watched Danny Garcia versus Morales, you know, I was impressed. I saw him fight before Morales with somebody else, and that's when I was really impressed. But when he fought Morales, I was impressed because I have a lot of respect for Morales. I think Morales is a great boxer. Even though, you know, I think Danny Garcia started that fight scared of what Morales can do because Morales is a technician. And after that, he calmed down, and I saw a lot of good boxing skill. And that from that point on, you saw what happened with Amir Khan, and now you see what's that with Judah. I feel like, you know, in that fight, Danny Garcia, once he knocked him down, he felt good about himself. He thought he can, you know, dominate this fight. Zab Judah showed the heart of a champion and definitely playing at your home. You don't want to look like a loser. And he made a fight out of it. You know, that's not denied. Zab Judah is a very skilled boxer. We know that. You know what I mean? When he fought Mayweather, he gave Mayweather some go until Mayweather decided to turn it on. So, I mean, Zab still is a good boxer. Now, that chin is a whole different story, but He still has game. He's like he said in his press conference before the fight. He's quick. He got power on both hands. His boxing skill is good enough. You know, it's all about Zab. The only thing about Zab you got to worry about is if he's in shape. And you know,
It's more mental. Is he going to stay focused for the while he's in there for those 36 minutes? As we saw, you know, during the Mayweather fight, he was actually up and was really touching Mayweather's body and his chin. But he just became unriled, and, you know, that's when the melee happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just couldn't come back from that mentally, so.
You know, I want to know, you think Zab should just retire?
Nah, I think he still has a, you know, he still is able to get a check, collect a check in the boxing game. And, you know, there are a lot of younger fighters who will try to go against him to make a name for themselves. But, you know, there's a, like, when he fought Vernon Parris, you know, Zab Judah isn't just going to go, you know, lay down and be a gatekeeper for some young fighter. He's a skilled technician that, when focused, can actually, you know, wreak a lot of havoc in a junior welterweight division. But the key is, will he stay focused? That's only time to tell.
And with speaking of young folks trying to make a name of themselves, NFL draft was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not Sunday, right?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
All right, cool, because, you know, I'm back on the old format. When we come back from break, we'll be talking about the Redskins and NFL, the Redskins draft in the NFL, and also the other teams like Will's Eagles, Geno Smith, folks like that. Yeah. Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio.
For ages.
Get it?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't, because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep, you know, we'll keep the hits coming.
You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Team website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O. Podbeam is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. Urban Sports is spelled U-R-B-A-N-S-P-O-R-T-S. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan. Like I mentioned before the break, the draft is where dreams come true. Some people are depressed for a little bit, but all of a sudden they're happy.
Some hearts get broken.
Yeah. So, but since we are located in DMV, which is the Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, we're going to talk about the Redskins.
Before we talk about the Redskins, I want to talk about one person whose dream came true that I could tell. Tyrann Mathieu's girlfriend. Did you see her reaction once they saw him?
Oh, baby, I'm paid, baby.
Did you see her reaction?
Oh, when she jumped on him like that?
Oh, yeah. Her dreams came true.
Oh, we're gonna be on... What's the name of them stupid little reality TV shows?
Do they have a Football Wives?
No, they don't. Soon to come, though.
There you go.
There goes Football Wives.
But sorry to get off track, but...
It's all cool. No, it's all... That's a good... You're right. Yeah, I know. You see, remember we were talking about, like, couches and stuff?
Yeah.
That was a mob. Nah, you seen that? You seen, like, that fan... Like, this whole... I don't know, his family, friends? That was a mob.
Yeah, he had a lot of people.
Yeah,
was deep.
A lot of people.
They were deep.
I wonder how much they were smoking.
I doubt that. I would hope he's not.
The draft should be on 420.
I mean, yeah. I would hope he's not stupid enough to smoke weed. Man. But then, you know, there's some people in the league
I'm gonna talk about
Justin Blackmun.
Again, I know. What's wrong with
4
that dude?
4-game suspension.
I know.
He's an addict.
Yeah, I know.
All right, but anyway, man, let's get back to your team, Washington Redskins, their draft.
Yeah. Thoughts of the Redskins draft. I was ecstatic. I thought this was Mike Shanahan's best draft. I know obviously people are going to go back to last year. Obviously, you know, getting RG3, so getting a cornerstone of the team, honestly, or the player for the team. But this season, I think they helped everything they needed on defense. Getting Philip Thomas. Also getting my man Bakari Rambo, which I was a fan of. We talked about it last week. You know what I mean? About I wanted Bakari Rambo. So you got a chance to get Philip Thomas and Bakari Rambo.
That could potentially be your safety.
It could be. And then you get Emerson, who people can like say, oh, it was a stretch. But he had 13 interceptions the year before last year. So to me, if you break down what the Redskins did in the draft, if you really look at it, these dudes may have gotten burnt. Let's just be real. I'm going to be bluntly honest. They may have gotten burnt in their positions in certain plays in the season last year in college. But the common theme is these dudes are playmakers. They make plays. You know what I mean? Like, Emerson's about 6'1", 6'2", long arms. So he's a big corner who can play safety, that can project even to a safety, Emerson. Mm-hmm. You got Bakari Rambo, who slipped because he had a drug situation in college.
Another piehead.
No, he was selling some weed.
He's the dealer.
Yeah. So he had a situation. Did you have? Matter of fact, was it he selling or was he smoking weed? One or the other. Either.
Well, no. Well, he was recently on the radio Tuesday.
It was selling, right?
No, he said what actually happened was he was in Panama Beach.
That's what it is. Okay.
Florida with some friends, and he went to sleep. And when he woke up, he started eating some brownies.
Yeah,
but they were hash brownies.
Yeah, I know. That's a lie.
I like Rambo.
I like his name. I think the potential with the jersey sales could be off the hook.
But I'm not gonna say he's telling the truth. I don't know the young man to say he's lying or not. So
I'm sorry, Will. You're the nice guy of this team. You knew you would eat. All I'm saying, you knew you were eating some brownies. That's all I'm saying. Like, you knew what you was eating. That's all I'm saying. It's nothing wrong with them. It happens. It's legal in Colorado, buddy. Just go to Colorado, man. It's legal. But yeah, so I'm not. I love the draft. You know what I mean? I love Philip Thomas when I led the nation in interceptions last season. So this team, how it's constructed, I think you get a healthy Brian Orakpo, you get Brandon Merriweather, get him healthy enough. This team can do things defensively. They better than what they did last season, and because they're not going to be a Madu Williams on this team. God bless Jesus for that one. So I think Shanahan had his best draft since being in Washington.
Well, I won't deny you on that one, but let's head up I-95 and talk about the.
That's all you're gonna say? That's good. I like that, Will. Good job, Will.
What?
I like that.
No, I'm just
you let me bask in my glory.
I let you talk about your team. You know, I'm gonna just head up I-95 and I'm talk about the Philadelphia Eagles draft. You know, I think they did great with especially their first two picks with getting Lance Johnson, an athletic tackle from Oklahoma, and then also getting Zyler Ertz from Stanford. The Chip Kelly says that he wants to get bigger, more athletic. And all, you know, on both lines and all in the team all around. So, you know, I think he did that with those first two picks. Lance Johnson is the type of player that he wants because, you know, he wants to run a more fast paced, up tempo offense. And, you know, Lance Johnson has the athletic ability and also, you know, he's a guy who, you know,
he's a fast tackle. He's a fast tackle. If we're looking at Chip Kelly's system, he fits it.
Yeah, so, you know, I think they did great with those first two picks. Then, you know, third-round pick, they got the D-tackle from LSU, another good pick, solid pick. And then in the fourth round, they went and traded up and got Matt Barkley.
That's what we want to know about. We want to know about Matt Barkley. That's all you want to know about, Will. You know, that's what the people want to know about.
I think potentially it could work. You know, Matt Barkley, everyone says that, you know, Chip Kelly, he has to have a mobile quarterback for his system to work. But we don't exactly know what Chip Kelly wants to do in the NFL. We don't know if he wants – now, granted, you know, I think it would be stupid for us to think that he's not going to bring certain principles of his offense from Oregon to the NFL. But, you know, to do everything that he tried to do in the NFL, that would be stupid. But, you know, the Matt Barkley pick, I like it if you can let Matt Barkley sit for 1 or 2 years. Learn the NFL game, learn the offense. He's a guy, you know, who essentially he's had to, you know, who's had high expectations from ever since high school. And he's, you know, pretty much produced except for this last year at USC. And, you know, even then, you know, he had playmakers around him, but his offensive line sucked. So, you know, I'm taking a wait and see approach with everything when it comes to the Eagles this season.
Matt Barkley being picked by the Philadelphia Eagles, the blessing for that selection is that Matt Barkley is going to be a similar theme that he dealt with in a USC. He's going to have spectacular playmakers to help him look good if he does get the opportunity to play quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Deshaun Jackson, Macklin, McCoy, Celek if he's still there. So this team has a plethora. Oh, I'm sorry, even Jason Avant is a third down wide receiver. The team has a plethora of talent and
Aurelius Ben.
Oh, yeah, Aurelius Ben, too? And mm-hmm. Aurelius Ben. So they have speed all around the board. So this team, as constructed, could do damage if Matt, you know, for Matt Barkley. If Matt Barkley is NFL ready, if Matt Barkley's arm strength is good enough. This is in college. So it is in college. You still need to threaten the defenses, these defenses with an arm. And if his arm does get stronger, like some people think that it may, it could be a really good pick. Still, he's not going to be starting this season. You still have Michael Vick. Michael, hopefully this team's offensive line will be conducive to what Michael Vick can do, and you'll have a healthy Michael Vick for the whole season. So I think this team, as constructed, can do damage without Matt Barkley. I think Matt Barkley should sit and wait. The big question is, what do you do with Nick Foles? Nick Foles looked good in preseason, looked decent, you know what I mean, starting for a rookie to me last season. And also, you know, he has arm strength. So why not Nick Foles?
I don't know. I can't tell you why not to go with Nick Foles. Like I said, just last year he showed some progression towards the end of the year. But, you know, it's all – I'm not in the practices. I'm not at the workout, so I don't know. But I will say, you know, if it doesn't work out for Nick Foles here, he definitely will probably have a job in Kansas City.
Yeah, exactly. And
Andy Reid.
And Al, who usually is sometimes a special guest on this show, is a big USC fan. He watches Pac-10 basketball, Pac-10 football. And he's always told me that Chip Kelly is a big fan of Matt Barkley, whatever that means. He said he's a big fan. He's always been a big fan of Matt Barkley. So
yeah, because Chip Kelly, he likes accurate quarterbacks. And one thing you can't say about Matt Barkley, he is an accurate quarterback, even though he
– accurate enough, put it that way. He's not that accurate. He's accurate enough.
He's accurate enough.
But let's go down to the end of, to a guy that some people thought that the Eagles would draft if he was out there, Geno Smith. He was waiting for, you know, he was waiting and waiting. Thought he'd be a first-round pick with a second-round pick. You think teams regret not drafting Geno Smith?
No, I don't. I think one thing that first of all, did you hear that he recently fired his agents?
Yeah, I didn't. That's not a big deal to me because no one really knows why. They're speculating.
Yeah, everyone's speculating. I think he probably fired them
But what does that mean about his personality? I've heard people try to dissect his personality because he fired his agent. His agent probably lied to him, like they all do, and he's probably the type of person that didn't want to deal with it, so he fired him. I don't see a big deal.
I don't see any big deal. I was just bringing it up for the topic of conversation.
No, not you. But you know, I've heard people like Tim Hasselbeck, who has really started to annoy me when it comes to Geno Smith. He was like, I don't know if he fires. If this is true, this really shows his personality, what kind of person he is as a quarterback, and how that's gonna coincide with him as a quarterback. And I'm like, dude, shut up! You're Tim Hasselbeck. Like seriously, like I'm about to vent. You're Tim Hasselbeck. All right, you're talking about a dude who had an opportunity to be a first round pick as a quarterback. The dude comes out of his mouth and says EJ Manuel is better than Geno Smith. Like seriously, dude. Like I'm sick of the Sean Salisbury's of the world, the Tim Hasselbacks.
I'm sick of the Trent Dilfer's too.
Even Trent Dilfer. Like really, I'm seriously. Like, but the only thing about Trent Dilfer though, I'll give Trent Dilfer credit. He doesn't criticize the quarterbacks like that. He kind of like I think he knows his role. He does break down. He tries to break down, obviously, you know, quarterback skill, whatever. Everybody always says the best person to break down a quarterback is a bum. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to be real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, coaches, like, usually coaches aren't superstars. You know what I'm saying? Not superstars. So, like, I'm just going to use slang because I like using it. A bum is going to know, like, they know their weaknesses. They know what they need to do to get better. Like, a superstar is they're just gifted. You get what I'm saying?
True.
So, like people like Trent Dilfer, they can dissect you. They can, you know, analyze what you do better than what you can because they never had that kind of talent. Now Trent Dilfer, I guess it'd be harder because Trent Dilfer did have a strong arm. So I guess I don't know how to really do with Trent Dilfer. But Tim Hasselbeck is a bum. Like to me, he's a bum out of all bums. I know he started for the Washington Redskins, which was ridiculous. Like because he's horrible. He was horrible. And this dude talks like he was Joe Montana.
I understand that, but you know, devil's advocate, part of that's his job.
Yeah, it is his job. But don't come out your mouth when most of the scouts have criticized EJ Manuel. And I don't know what EJ Manuel could be. He probably could be good. I'm not knocking EJ Manuel. But when most people, you watch college football, like, don't criticize and say, like, that Geno Smith, like, EJ Manuel's better than Geno Smith. That's just ridiculous. And that's something you need to shut up. Like, you really need to shut up.
I mean, but it's opinion. It's opinion.
Yeah, everyone has one.
Oh, my God. Wow. Like next time, don't warn me or bleep me out.
I'll be bleeped out for that one. Like, I'm stouching.
Well, anyway, Geno Smith, you know, is picked by the Jets. He's going into the three-ring circus once again. You know, they already have Mark Sanchez there, who's a lame duck quarterback for this year. They could say there's going to be an open competition, but you're not going to pay a guy almost $9 million to sit on the bench to be your backup.
So you say Sanchez is going to start?
Sanchez will start, but then once he struggles, Geno Smith will come in. He'll get his opportunity probably after the 10th game of the season.
David Garrard starting.
So you honestly think that they're going to pay a guy $9 million to sit on the bench?
Because he's a bum.
No, I'm not saying he isn't. You won't hear any. I'm not going to say he's a bum. I just think he's been messed over.
If that was the case, for the Jets. If I could be bluntly honest, if that was the case, in my opinion, Sanchez would never have been benched, even at last season. If that was the case, if they really cared about the
money. No, and I understand that, but I don't think that Sanchez his whole contract was guaranteed as it is this year, though. That's why I'm saying that he'll start the season as the starting quarterback of the New York Jets. Once he struggles, then they'll go with other options. But to start it off, you know, I've heard them say that there'll be a 5-man open quarterback competition this year. Please, there's no such thing as an open competition. Mm-hmm. Coaches have their favorites. Coaches know who they want to see start, and it'll take their favorite to really, really play down to a very inferior level for him not to start. So I think Sanchez will be the starter going into the season.
David Garrard will be the starter, and David Garrard isn't the starter. I'll make a bold prediction. I think Geno Smith will be a starter. And if Geno Smith has a great preseason, he's definitely the starter.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, that's a possibility. People in New York are very tired of Mark Sanchez as the quarterback, and especially after the famous butt fumble that happened on Thanksgiving Day.
I mean, to me, you got 3 years to show that you can take it to the next level. I know, granted, he didn't have the best supporting cast last season. I get that. But he still makes mistakes that rookie quarterbacks will make. I think that's the issue. Because, like, let's go into another person. Like, for instance, Sam Bradford, who I'm going to talk about later, has not had talent in the skill position at wide receiver since he's been in St. Louis. Maybe 1 year when he had he actually had a good season, then he blew his knee out. He played for the Ravens too. Mark Clayton. 1 year Mark Clayton had a real good stint. And he put up good numbers before he tore his knee out. True. That may have been his most talented wide receiver. I mean, he had Brandon Lloyd, but that's for like not even for most of the season. That's for like a little portion of the season. So to me, Sam Bradford always looked like an NFL quarterback. Like, he didn't make dumb mistakes when you scratch your head and be like, okay, dude, you don't even play with a great defense and you're still looking decent. While you look at Sanchez, who's playing at the time with a really good defense and making foolish mistakes.
Well, I'm not going to – you won't hear any argument from me on that point. So, bottom line, Sanchez get traded or not?
That's a good question.
Anytime during the season. Will, I think preseason will Mark will Sanchez end the season as a New York Jet?
End the season as New York Jet? I'm going to say no. Just because I think – no, you know what? He won't get released because that's a salary cap thing. Yeah, he'll still probably end the season as a Jet. Now, preseason, again, will dictate that, though. Training camp, depending on how Geno Smith looks in training camp and preseason, that will dictate what happens in Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, just to wrap it up, because I don't want to go too long with this whole Geno Smith thing. I think he kind of screwed himself, you know, making a prediction, oh, we'll make the playoffs, and then, you know, his statements about ESPN. Yeah, he said they'll make the playoffs. Yeah, I know. He's feeding into it already.
Yeah, I love Geno Smith. That's just stupid, though.
And then, you know, his comments about ESPN when he was on the NFL Network, where, you know, he said that, you know, analysts from ESPN blasted him.
I agree.
Well, this is the thing. I don't think there are a lot of analysts that really blasted him, per se, or his character. I think it was, you know, Pro Football Talk that guy, Norlin Nowacki. He wrote a very scathing evaluation of Geno Smith. But, you know, I'm not going to go into all of that.
I just want to say this one thing. I'm going to say this for Geno Smith so he can feel comfortable and make – if I'm going to tweak this out too. The same folks said the same thing about Cam Newton. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
folks said the same thing about Cam
Newton. So all you got to do is, you know, keep your mouth shut from this point, get your head in the playbook, and prove everybody wrong by your play on the
field. The same folks who hated on you, and to be honest with you, you're more accurate than Cam Newton wasn't even in college. So the same folks that question what you have – what they think they have a problem with you with – they question Cam Newton with the same thing, leadership and a lot of other things too. So Let's just be real. So don't worry, you'll be all right, Gino. Just like Will said, stay in the books, in the books, and do your thing, and just do what God gave you, and you'll be all right. Anyway, let's keep going down. There's other things that happened in the draft. Who do you think had like a great draft day?
The Ravens.
Ravens.
Okay. The Ravens and the 49ers. All the right. Rich kept getting richer. The Ravens to me are, you know, an example of how you run a franchise. You know, you lost.
Ozzie's a beast, man.
Yeah, Ozzie Newsome. He'll go down not only as one of the best tight ends, but one of the best evaluators of talent and also ability to assemble a team. You lost so many big names through either retirements and free agency coming off the Super Bowl. You allow older guys to walk to start to bring in new blood for the team. And what do? You go out, you find your new starting safety, you find potentially starting middle linebacker, and you added talent in the positions of wide receiver and also along the offensive line. So the Ravens had a great draft to me. And also the 49ers, they got Marcus Lattimore with a fourth-round pick. The guy will probably sit out, be on the PUP list for his whole rookie year. You got Eric Reed as a starting safety. Then in the fourth round, you got Patton from Louisiana Tech. Like I said, the rich keep getting richer.
I like what you're talking about, and also to piggyback on what you said about the Ravens, and let's not forget what they did in free agency, getting McClain and also getting Michael Huff. That just makes to me they're even better.
Oh yeah, shout out to Michael Huff. I saw him yesterday at the Fridays in Reisterstown Road in Baltimore. and Ladarius Witt.
Yeah, and you know they're better. They're probably arguably better as a combo at safety now than they were last season. I mean, every was great. It's great. I'm just talking about as a combo having safeties having. The two set having Elam and then having Huff combination as the safeties, that's maybe one of the best in football potentially. For me, I'm gonna go a different route. I mentioned it. I love what the St. Louis Rams did. I'm a big fan of what they did to get to finally give Sam Bradford playmakers, because to me Jeff Fisher has already revamped that defense. He did his job defensively. You don't like Tavon Austin.
I like Tavon Austin. He's a game changer, but to jump up to number 8 and draft a guy.
It's a necessary need for that team. That team you need to they could have drafted to fit the style of play they want. They want to remake the circus, what is it? The St. Louis Rams moniker.
Greatest
show on turf. They remake it. They bring Tavon Austin. They bring in, they get Bailey, who I think is a steal. I think Bailey is a steal. A great route running wide receiver. Austin, who can make plays. I think now they put the pieces around Sam Bradford, and you're going to hear it here. I think this team is going to contend for the NFC West. I really do. I think they're going to contend. You saw them get San Francisco problems last season with a team that didn't have too many playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. Now you give Sam Bradford playmakers. I think Sam Bradford in the NFC West may be, and I'm gonna be alone. I don't care. I'm a lone rider on this one. Sam Bradford, the best quarterback in the NFC West.
Wow.
And I think that you're gonna see it with talent. Now he's finally had talent. A lot of these other teams have talent. You know what I mean? Like knock Seattle for what it is. Sidney Rice is a talented wide receiver. You're looking at Michael Crabtree is a talented wide receiver. San Francisco, St. Louis, when you look at St. Louis, I ain't seen any talented wide receiver last season. You know what I mean? So now he's going to have talent around him. I think St. Louis, Jeff Fisher, you get credit from me, man.
Yeah, I think they did a great job. If there's winners, of course there's losers. I'm going to just go with Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to just set it off.
The
center with the first pick, first round pick. To me, this is one of those things that it just goes to exemplify why Jerry Jones doesn't need to be the GM for this team. No, and I'm going to say this because, you know, I think he made this pick so everyone, you know, if it works out, everyone will praise him as a genius. Mm-hmm. Opposed to, you know, going and getting probably a guy who gives you better value for your first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's picks like this to just go and exemplify why this team is where they're at. But I do like that pick that they got the tight end from San Diego State. He's a very impressive kid. But Jerry Jones, once again, you F it up for your team.
When Dallas picks a tight end, I kind of smirk at it because I think it'll never work. I think Marcellus Bennett was a talented tight end. and it didn't work. Why it didn't work? Because Romo's fixated on Jason Witten. Regardless of the fact, that's just what it is. And Jason Witten's still going to get his touches, and the second tight end's going to never look as good as Jason Witten. I think everybody wants to remake the Patriots, what the Patriots do. But I think Dallas, that's something Dallas can't do. But for me, it's Buffalo. It's not knocking on EJ Manuel, but I think that you could have got EJ Manuel in the second round, third round. You didn't have to trade to get EJ Manuel at in the first round. Yeah, 16. Yeah. You can got him later. So you could have added on and got EJ Manuel. So for me, it's Buffalo. I think they overvalued EJ Manuel's worth in the draft.
True. But anyway. Not to, you know, cut you off.
It's cool. I was done. You didn't cut me off. I was done. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. That's what I'm here for.
We're a team here, son.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Who surprised you? What pick outside of maybe the EJ Emanuel, going 16th overall, what picks surprised you?
What really surprised me? Trying to look. Honestly.
Well, I got one that surprised me.
Go ahead.
The Ravens not taking Manti Te'o with the last pick in the first round.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Once I saw him slip that far, I really thought that he would go to the Ravens and I guess it's kind of a great thing that he went where he did and when he did. Him going to San Diego, a smaller market, mm-hmm. people really aren't going to, put the full court press on him and keep bringing up the imaginary girlfriend thing. And also, if he had came to Baltimore, he would have been stepping in the shoes of Ray Lewis. So, I guess it's a pretty good thing he went to San Diego. But, I was kind of surprised the Ravens still didn't take him.
I know it. Arizona not really getting a quarterback that can really help him really surprised the hell out of me.
Well, they got Carson Palmer.
Arizona not getting a quarterback that can really help and surprise the hell out of me. Like, I think that I didn't really drop the ball not getting a Geno Smith. I thought that was hilarious. But I'm going to be real with you. The one that really surprised me, a pick that really surprised me, the Giants selecting Nesip. Like, what was that about?
I think, they need a backup. Just what happened here, with RG3. You want a guy who's capable of filling in, two, maybe four games if need be, to be a backup quarterback, a starter quality quarterback who's your backup, potentially you won't have any drop off. So part of me says it's a good pick, but I always like how the Giants go about building their team anyway.
You do? I'm not a fan of Giants. I'm a fan of Ozzie, though. Ozzie a beast. But I do like, back to what you told Manti Te'o, I do like the San Diego Chargers to get Manti Te'o. I think that's a good pick. It's a good move for him. And also getting Allen from Cal, I think that was a good pick at wide receiver. So they definitely bettered their team. Maybe, hopefully, if Phillip Rivers plays to his level, he did a couple years ago, maybe this team is a playoff team again.
Absolutely.
But anyway, speaking of playoffs, NBA playoffs is going on right now. Will's team right now is playing. The New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics are in a big throwdown.
Let's wrap it up and bring it home.
Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Blow up last season. Every win. Every loss. Headline. Blow it all up. Because all that matters is what you do next.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
You can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, excuse me, on the Apple G's radio show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. And if you need to click on the link, it's on our Urban Sports Scene page, so make sure you click the link and visit their site. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian. I don't know what's going on with the show because they haven't had a show in a couple of weeks, actually.
Oh, okay.
I think they will be having one in May, I think, soon. But when they're back, I'm definitely trying to be on. because we love Skylar Diggins, and they gave us Skylar Diggins. So much love.
Much love. Much respect to him.
Hey, anyway, like I mentioned before the break, we got to talk about the Knicks-Boston. 3-1. New York's up, but right now they're down. They're down one to the Boston Celtics. Looks like a real spirited game that Boston's trying to put out here. But, Will, I'm going to let you go first. First, J.R. Smith. Do you think having J.R. Smith back tonight is a big deal?
Absolutely. You know, J.R. Smith is clearly the second scoring option for the Knicks team. You know, Carmelo, he's going to get you your 30 points. Outside of, you know, J.R. Smith is the second guy who can create his shot and shots for others. I do, you know, even though this game is close right now, it's a very physical game. Boston's up 40-37 with a minute 16 left in the second quarter. I do ultimately think the Knicks will pull this off. I just think because the Boston Celtics can't play a complete 48 minutes of basketball. They haven't shown outside of game four that they can compete for 48 minutes.
I'll say this. You know, J.R. Smith stated that if he had played in game four, the series would be over. Because the Celtics would win that game. Do you think that J.R. Smith not playing that game and the Celtics winning that game has given the Celtics momentum?
I think it's given them, you know, it's definitely, you know, helped put some fight back in their old bones. But I don't
you
think
say what?
I think it's helped put some fight back in their old bones.
Are you old bones?
Old bones, yeah.
Oh, okay, at least it's something else. What did I say?
ultimately, I think this game would be over, you know, after game five tonight. Just, you know, even though they're up and it's the second quarter, the key for this whole series for the determining factor has been the third quarter. You know, even in game four, you know, Boston was up by 20 points and Raymond Felton brought them back down 20.
Yeah, out of body help
close
experience.
It. Yeah, you know, to close out the gap in the game. So, like I said, you know, once the third quarter comes around, Knicks will turn it up. And, you know, five games, and then we'll see the rebuilding of the Boston Celtics start next year.
This is my only thing about what you're talking about. I think you're kind of being too nonchalant about the pressure that New York has on them. This is a team that hasn't won a series, and I don't know how long since Patrick Ewing been in the NBA. I'm just joking around. I hope not.
I think like 2000. Yeah, 2000, since 2000.
Since Patrick Ewing was there?
Nah, Patrick Ewing was gone.
All right, I pray that he was. So we're looking at a team that's hurt a lot. They're saying, okay, this team hasn't done this since Pat's been there. You know what I mean? So in that regard, I'm looking at it like, all right, well, this team, if the game gets tight in the fourth quarter, this team can freeze because they hear that all the time. So I think – and also, if they do lose this game, I think that automatically this game's going seven because I think they're choking in Boston. Hopefully – I mean, for you, you know, I love Melo. Melo's my dude, you know, and I would like to see Melo go make a run and then lose LeBron. This is a dangerous game. I don't care what anybody tells me. This is a dangerous game because you got the Celtics who got a heart of a champion. It's one thing you cannot deny. A team that has been to the finals, has had success, has owned you even in the playoffs, to be honest with you. There is a psychological advantage they do have. You know what I mean? Regardless of where a series is at. Because if the Celtics are tight in the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, they're still in striking range. That's gonna play a part in the minds of the New York Knicks. I don't care what anybody tells me. You know, but the question you did raise a good question, or you raised a good statement saying that, you know, it's gonna be the end of the big, you know, of Garnett and Pierce, basically, if they do lose this series. Do you think that? Do you think that Garnett and Pierce will be gone if they lose this series?
I think both of them retire. I think that they'll both want to retire as Celtics, but I just think ultimately Danny Ainge is going to have to come to the decision and make, if he's truly thinking with his mind and not his heart, and wants to come up with the best, put the Boston Celtics in the best situation going forward, you got to dump one of them and you got to bring in some younger assets.
So which one would you dump?
The guy who probably could bring you back the most is probably KG, just because he's a 7-footer, plays defense, can, you know, former defensive player of the year, former MVP, and he can, you know, knock down that 15 to 16 foot jumper. His leadership and his intensity. So, you know, we'll see. I hope that that Danny Ainge is, you know, has a contingency plan for once this thing is over after game five and how to rebuild the Celtics.
Well, we're about
get them back quickly.
We're about to move on, but before we move on, I just want to give y'all a heads up on the score. It's 45-39 Boston. Jason Terry is balling, and that's a big player in this series. Jason Terry puts up good numbers. I think the Knicks are definitely in trouble. But let's go to a game that's on another game, and it's on tonight. Houston versus
OKC.
Houston versus OKC. But before we get into the actual game, I don't think we didn't get an opportunity to discuss this. But Westbrook is going to be out for the playoffs due to Beverly's play on him when they called the timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Beverly should have been suspended the game for that play?
No, I think it was an overly aggressive play that a young guy who hasn't made his name or got his chops in the league. He was just trying to, you know, make a play on the ball. Some could see how it. We'll say it's a dirty play, but just realistically, he was trying to make a play on the ball, and it was just a bad angle. And unfortunately, Westbrook is the victim of a overly aggressive guy, you know, trying to make his way in the league.
It was dirty, okay, but I hate when folks go at the knees any which way. Like I know he was overly aggressive. I just hate it. I think it's just I'm just not a fan of it. I think when somebody's about to dunk, there's no need to undercut him. Let him dunk it. You know what I mean? It's too dangerous. It's too much going on. I don't care if it's the playoffs. Maybe if it's a game-winning bucket, I can see it. I could dig it. But I'm just not a fan of anybody going to the knee. I told my ACL, I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of what goes on with a knee surgery, especially if somebody is helpless and you knew he was calling a timeout. There was nothing that you were going to do about it. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
You make a good point. I mean, you know, it's two sides to every story. I don't think he did it intentionally, but then again, you know, you made a very valid point where, you know he's calling for he's pointing at the referee to get the timeout, and obviously you aren't going to be in there to get the steal in time. So
I ain't get it. But anyway, let's go into the actual series right now. OKC's up 3-1. Kevin Durant looks like he's playing more of the point forward role and just
facilitating. He's missed everything for the team.
Exactly. Even that last game, they almost took that game too anyway, and they almost had a sweep. Let's talk about Kevin Durant. How you feel about his new role?
Well, recently, you know, he was on the front of Sports Illustrated saying that he's tired of being number two. Yeah. Well, you have the opportunity to show everybody why you're number one if you can get this team to the finals. Because outside of Kevin Durant, there is nothing on this team offensively.
Number one? I mean, that means he has to be better than LeBron. He can't be number one. He can get the team to the finals and still be number two.
I mean, he can, but, you know, he can show everyone that, you know, that he's truly the catalyst for this team.
Oh, yeah, he is. I don't think he needs
to. You know, some people will say that, you know, he won't, you know, without he's.
Rusty Russ?
Yeah, Rusty West, you know, that's his Pippen to his Jordan. But, you know, I think that Kevin Durant's going to have to take his game to the whole nother stratosphere. You're laughing.
I hate that Pippen to his Jordan. Anyway,
what?
Kevin Durant, no Jordan. I hate Jordan. I like Pippen. I like Kevin Durant. I can't stand Jordan. Kevin Durant to me showed a lot. I kind of get annoyed with the analysts saying that Kevin Durant shouldn't have to play a facilitating role. He's doing whatever it takes to win. He's a scorer. He'll score. Don't worry about it. He can always do that. But you always a superstar who can get his teammates involved. It's the best kind of player because you know what? Those players are now going to think they're going to get the ball. They're going to play better offense, going to play better defense. Everybody's involved. And when you get a team that when everybody's involved, the team is successful. That's the reason why this Lakers team hasn't took off because Kobe Bryant was more on getting Kobe Bryant off. And that's why people like Dwight, Pau Gasol weren't playing better basketball because we're watching one person. Now, when a score is getting everybody involved, then that whole team flourishes. I hate Jordan, right? Everybody knows that. I hate Jordan. But I'm going to give Jordan credit. In the first quarter, if you really break it down, in the first quarter, Jordan tried to get everybody involved in the first quarter. After the first quarter, then it was a whole different monster. You got selfish Jordan. But in the first quarter, he made sure that everybody got touches and everybody got involved because he knew he was going to need his teammates. You get what I'm saying? And that's what Kevin Durant. Durant's just trying to get everybody involved. So I'm not mad at him. I like the way he's playing ball. And I like his aggression too. I think we see now, like, he could score anybody. Because in game four against Houston, I mean, dude was going by four Bammas. I mean four players.
Four defenders.
Yeah, whatever. Four defenders. And then threw it down. So he can score anybody. That's not a problem. He can always do that. He's Kevin Durant. He can always do that. You know what I mean? But do you think, like with the loss of Westbrook, there's a chance that this and winning game four, there's a chance they can win game five?
Who? OKC?
Nah, Houston.
Nah, I think they closed this one out at OKC. I do think, you know, one positive for OKC, because they're such a young team and they're without Houston, Westbrook.
You mean OKC?
Yeah, OKC. I think in the long run, because if you look at OKC's bench, they have a lot of young players like Perry Jones, Liggins.
They need to play Perry Jones more.
They have Deron Lamb.
They don't play him either.
Hasim Thabeet. I think that this ultimately, in the long run, will ultimately help those young guys, get them some playing time, and you know, I don't think this year, but next year, the OKC, they'll come back a stronger team.
They don't even play them though.
Why they don't play those young guys, I don't know.
Even now, they don't play them. That's what I'm saying.
But I think they do need to get them involved.
I will say this. There is a chance that OKC can lose, but it's all going to be dependent. James Harden's going to do what he does. He may not play, but I think he'll play. Chandler Parsons, man.
I've told you that dude can ball.
If that kid did what he did against game four, because he knew his Jay wasn't falling, they just started attacking the basket. That's a mean boy right there, man. Yeah. So if he plays the way he played in game four, I think he can give OKC problems. But I agree with Will. I think that chances are this thing is closed tonight. But I wouldn't be surprised, though, if OKC loses to Houston. And if they do lose, it would be because of Chandler Parsons. Let's keep going down the playoffs. In the playoffs, a team that was eliminated. My Lakers, man, they was eliminated.
Why do we talk about teams that
were eliminated, man. Hey. Dwight Howard and my Lakers were eliminated. I know you were talking before we did this show about how Dwight Howard pulled a punk move. First off, we can get into that. Why do you think Dwight Howard made a punk move against the Spurs when they got swept?
Because he's not a leader. It's just my opinion. You know, as you've seen by, you know, last year with his bickering back and forth, I want to go to Brooklyn, I want to stay in Orlando, I want to leave, I don't know what I want to do. Even now, he's kind of away from saying, you know, I got to do what's best for me and I need to step away from basketball to make the best decision. Dude, you've been there for what, 70, what has he played, like 72 of the games this year? So you know what it's like in L.A. You know if you want to stay in L.A. or not. So stop wavering, going back and forth, man. Just tell the people the truth. You don't want to be in L.A.
Do you want to know the truth? I'll tell you the truth.
What's that?
All right. You want to hear the real? Because I think you guys don't want to hear the real. Basically, I'm your boy, man. Because, you know, I like the Lakers when you run the ship. I like him. But I'll be real. He wants to wait, and he wants to hear if they're going to amnesty Kobe Bryant. And because that was his glimmer of hope. He said, I can stay in this town if Kobe's not there. 110%. If Kobe Bryant was healthy 100%, Dwight Howard would definitely be gone. He wouldn't even hear anything. You know what I mean? He would be gone. But with Kobe, sorry, tearing his Achilles, Dwight Howard has a glimmer of hope. Say, okay, this could be my team. He doesn't like playing with Kobe. All right? That's real. Why would you want to come back to a place where you don't want to play with somebody? You get what I'm saying? He don't want to play with Kobe. So he wants to wait it out, and he wants to see what the Lakers are going to do.
All right, but let me ask you this question. This is a question, the golden question no one's asked.
Yeah.
If you're the Lakers, do you want to build around a guy that's shown that he's inconsistent mentally, can't focus, and shown the inability to lead? Do you want to give a guy like that max money? No, I'm just saying Laker Nation. I'm just asking in general.
Well, I'm Laker Nation, and I represent Laker Nation, and I will get the Dwight Howard money to stay here. If that represents Kobe Bryant being amnesty.
No, I think you, if you're the Lakers, you're kind of screwed into the point you have to pay though.
But truth be told, you have to. You got rid of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant's got 1-2 years max.
One year. Let's be real. It's an Achilles. He tore his Achilles tendon. Let's just be real. Chances are Kobe Bryant is gonna come back after the All Star break.
If he's able to come back.
If he's able to come back next season. So. It's going to be tough. You have to sign Dwight Howard because you got to understand it. Like Dwight, regardless of what people feel about Dwight Howard's attitude, let's just put facts out there. He took an Orlando Magic team that didn't have that much talent, in my opinion, to the finals. So he can lead a team. He's Defensive Player of the Year. You know his capabilities when healthy. Yeah, well, we have a problem. Only, we have a problem with his attitude. Yes, that's true. The Orlando.
Not only his attitude, but my only trepidation is a guy who's been in the league for 8-9 years and you still haven't developed an offensive repertoire.
Hey.
Consistent offensive arsenal.
When he is the focus of your offense, he's still a 25-point scorer, regard with no offense.
I mean, you know, he's a 10-10 guy. You know that
defensive MVP.
He's the best defensive center in the league.
Nah, I wouldn't say that. When healthy, understand this. When healthy, he's the best center in the league. Without the skill that you all want to reference, when healthy, you put him against a Marcus Gasol. It's not like this thing annoys me about the whole situation when people say that. I understand skill wise. Like I like Brook Lopez. I think Brook Lopez is more skilled than Dwight Howard. But if they're going head to head, this is what I'm talking about. Head to head. Dwight Howard is going to outplay a Brook Lopez. Head to head, Dwight Howard has outplayed Marc Gasol on a number of occasions. Head to head. When you look at it, when they play head to head on a number of occasions, it's not, you can't say like, all right, like for instance, people say Shaq was the best center in the NBA. When Shaq played Olajuwon in the finals, you knew who the best center in the NBA was. When Dave Robinson got MVP and played Hakeem Olajuwon in that Western Conference finals, you knew who was the best center. Because it was proof, it was there. You saw it when they went head to head. Not when Gasol was busting, Serafin's butt or whoever bad center in the NBA. I'm talking about when the so-called best centers played each other, and who got out. You knew who was the best center in the Eastern Conference when Patrick Ewing played Shaquille O'Neal. Though it used to go tough, but you knew who came out on with the better stats, the more dominant game. It used to be Shaq, and I love Pat Ewing. I'm a Georgetown Hoyer. You know what I mean? So I'm saying, like, when we talk about who's the best center, let's break them down. When they play each other, they go face up. Who gets out?
Well, like I said,
like, you know, Tim Duggan got on Dwight.
Everyone has their opinion. Like I said, I don't necessarily think I would pay the guy max money.
Not because he's a punk. But still, at the same time, he's the punk that's going to leave my team. I don't care. I just can't have Kobe anymore, man. I can't stand Kobe. So if he doesn't come back, what do you think he's going to go to there?
Houston.
That's everybody says Houston.
Houston or Dallas.
Mark Cuban will pay him. No state
taxes. No state taxes.
Oh, real tax free money.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no state taxes in
Delaware.
Yeah.
Oh man, I go to Dallas, man. I'm all about tax free.
They had the opportunity to put the type of players, you know, perimeter players around him to.
Yeah, because I don't think he would like playing in Houston because it really it's hard right now.
Yeah,
man.
It's hard. That would be hard it's to see. He wants a team where it's going to go from that. Inside yeah. and exactly. go back
That's
out.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, you got Dirk Nowitzki, who's a jump shooter.
Yeah. I think it's a better fit.
Yeah, so. You know, that's my opinion.
Dallas is a way better fit. I think he should go back home. I don't know why he'd be acting like Atlanta. He should go back home. He'd be like, I don't want to go home. Like, you a fool. Go home, man. Yeah. Nothing wrong with going home. Anyway, let's go to somebody who's a great outside shooter. Probably the best shooter in the NBA. Steph Curry.
Best pure shooter by far.
Steph Curry and Golden State lost last night to the Denver Nuggets, so now they're only up 3-2. They're going back to Golden State, Oak Town, home of Too Short. How impressed have you been with Steph Curry in the postseason?
Extremely. Steph Curry, he's shown that he's put himself in the elite point guard level. He can shoot, he can dish. He could play better defensively, but most guys couldn't.
Defense overrated for superstars, man. It's overrated.
The guy's just a pure scorer, pure shooter, pulling up for like 35, 40 feet, knocking down threes.
And the handle, man.
And his handles, man.
His handle is kind of, you know, I've always, when I watched Steph Curry, people were like, oh, I don't know his handle. I watched him in Davidson. I thought his handles was adequate. They've definitely improved. Definitely improved. Let's just be real. They definitely improved. But
you know, a lot of people were debating, you know, him or Monte Ellis, which guy would be better for the long term of this franchise. Now, some people would have said Monte Ellis, but you know, Steph Curry's definitely shown us, that he's the better fit long term.
I'm gonna say this: like, God bless the Warriors for making that trade, because you watch Stephen Curry with Golden State, he was deferring to Monte Ellis. And he wasn't being that Steph Curry that we all saw in college at Davidson, who was a one-man team, and everybody was focused on stopping Steph Curry, and he still led Davidson to the Elite Eight when you knew he was the scorer, and you knew he was the person you had to worry about. And now we see it now. Like, we see Stephen Curry. Now, Golden State, granted, has more talent than that Davidson team. And they have players who can do who can score
absolutely.
As well.
You got but Clay Thompson Jr.
You Harrison Barnes.
You got, yeah, Harrison Barnes. So.
You got Jared Jack, Prince George County. So
Andrew Bogut, Andrew who Bogut hasn't showed up.
Exactly. Oh, Andrew Bogut's been showing up a couple games.
I mean, not this past game.
He no, he just had a flagrant. But he showed up last that dunk against JaVale McGee.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he showed up. Oh, he showed up, man. He almost looked like the old Andrew Bogut. But yeah. So I'm happy like they did that because now you see the progression of Golden State. Steph Curry, the progression of Steph Curry. You now see who they drafted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like I said, man, this is the new Run TMC for Golden State. Yeah. You know, back in the day they had Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, and Chris Mullin. Now they have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Harrison Barnes.
Yes, and young and only getting better. But, yeah, I agree with Will. He said elite point guard. I think Steph Curry is an elite player. I think he's proven he's an elite player.
Franchise player. That's a guy that I would pay max money to.
Yeah, pay max money to. And he actually get him for the cheap because he ain't getting max money.
Nope.
So, Steph Curry, to me, is on a whole different level. And then they had talks about, you know, Denver trying to rough him up. Mark Jackson said that Denver was trying to rough him up.
Trying to go at his bad ankle.
Well, the Fareed play looks close to his ankle, but that's too. It's hard to target someone's ankle, to be honest with you. So I don't know how truthful that is.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard.
But you know, that was just Mark Jackson posturing for calls for this next game. He knows what he's doing.
So do you think the Warriors ended in Oaktown?
I think this one goes seven.
Things go seven. I think it'll be good for the NBA.
Yeah, it's very entertaining. Even though you know it comes on late at 10:30.
Oh, it's painful, man. Yeah. It's so painful. But if it does go seven, Denver wins. I'll say that. I think it's over in Golden State. I think the big thing that Denver did is that they didn't close out Game Five the right way. Like they had them blown out. They gave Golden State hope, but like, all right, we can win this game. We're playing at your home, and we almost came back from a 20-point lead. So just imagine what's going to happen. We have the crowd on our side. Steph, you know how Steph plays at home. It's going to be even worse. And Steph wasn't even knocking down shots early anyway. So I think it's giving them more confidence. I think in a way.
True.
But let's go on to another series. Clippers, Memphis. I missed the game last night. I just heard it. I heard that Memphis won though.
Yeah, Zach Randolph, you know, once Blake Griffin was out of the game with that ankle injury, Zach Randolph, big boy basketball down on that block.
Yeah.
He's a beast down on the block. There are very few players that has. Now, if Dwight Howard has Zach That's Randolph's true. Offensive skill set, dominant.
But see, Dwight Howard don't have Zach Randolph's touch. He has good touch around the basket.
Yeah, Zach Randolph is one of the better offensively talented big men in the NBA.
With no bounce.
No bounce
No
at all.
Bounce whatsoever.
Yeah. His game is below the rim, but he has that mid-range jumper, and, you know, he's able to get to the bucket from 15, 16 feet out.
I know, I agree.
By putting the ball on the ground.
All right, so who do you think is better? Because I've been struggling with this question. A lot of people give Blake Griffin credit because he's so athletic, but who's actually better between Zach Randolph and Z-Bo? Blake Griffin, I'm sorry.
That's easy, Zach Randolph.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Skill, yeah. Blake Griffin, it's very rare that he scores not touching the rim.
Exactly.
Or within the lane. Zach Randolph can post you up, hit the turnaround. Zach Randolph can go to the hook shot. Zach Randolph can put the ball on the ground and score. Zach Randolph can hit the jump shot. Blake Griffin hasn't developed that outside consistent jump shot. Blake Griffin, he has trouble putting the ball onto the ground, getting to the paint and scoring, and also scoring with his back to the basket.
I think Blake Griffin's overrated.
I agree with you.
I think he's so overrated.
It's just highlight reels. Yeah, that's all it is. And I think when you see, he plays in LA, that helps
him. And then when you see a Z-Bo, you see it though. Like when you see him play against Z-Bo, you see it. Like think about it. This Blake Griffin gets so much attention. You would think he was the best point power forward in the game. When he plays against Z-Bo, it's like you
Shuts
see that Z-Bo
down,
is better.
It.
Yeah, like Z-Bo is better. Like Zach Randolph is better. It's not even an argument. It's like when you really break it down and you watch them these two battle, because it's like now to me it's like a little minor rivalry in a way. You see who's the better power forward. You really do.
Absolutely. Like I said, I've always been a Zach Randolph fan. It's just that, you know, early in his career, mentally he wasn't.
He's a knucklehead.
He's
a knucklehead.
He was a knucklehead, but now he seems like he has it all together playing in Memphis, and he's been dominating whenever he gets a chance. He's the type of guy that you can throw the ball down to in the block in the last minute or two and get baskets, and who can lead your you know, I'm not going to say he's the greatest leader or the best leader, but you could build a team, a game plan around him offensively.
So do you think, you know, we've been seeing this series last 2 years, matter of fact. Do you think this series is a rivalry?
No, because neither one of them really played for anything. Just because, you know, they haven't played for anything, they haven't gone to advance to, you know, deep into the playoffs. It's always been a first-round game. Now there may be some angst, some hostility towards each other, but I don't think it's a rivalry. It's not one of those games I think either one of them particularly get up for.
Oh, you got Memphis. You got Memphis up 3-2. Game's going to Memphis. Last year they couldn't close it out. Same, they was up. I believe they were they up 3-2? No. Sure. It was 3-3. I'm sorry, it was 3-3 in Memphis, but the Clippers took the game 7 and in Memphis. Now is another opportunity to close it out in Memphis. Do you think the Clippers kind of, you know, bring it back and do what happened last season and extend the series? Or do you think Memphis does what they need to and close it out?
Without Blake Griffin, that's a great question. I actually think that Memphis advances on this one just for the simple – ooh, great crossover by Carmelo Anthony.
I'll make it first, though, buddy.
Yeah, he does. But for the simple fact that the Clippers don't have anyone who will play big boy basketball against Zach Randolph. Yeah. And if they continue to feed Zach Randolph, they'll win this game. But ultimately, also too, outside of Mike Conley, mm-hmm. Memphis really doesn't have anyone that could create their own shot for others, and a prolific scorer from the wing. So that kind of, you know, gives me some trepidation, but I ultimately think Memphis pulls it off in 7.
I think we all got to give respect to Mike Conley Jr. I think he's playing a hell of a series, and he's actually should get more credit as a point guard in the NBA. I think he's definitely showing himself as one of the top point guards in the NBA. Definitely when you're playing against Chris Paul, man, it's hard. Chris Paul is the best point guard, and you're going against the best. So I think we got to give credit to Mike Conley Jr. because he's holding his own. He's actually, you know, competing at a high level at the point guard position. It's gonna be a hard one actually. Cause I think it's a little rivalry in its own right. I do think it's a little rivalry, and I think like you, I kind of want to lean towards Memphis because Blake Griffin's out. Regardless of how I feel about Blake Griffin being overrated, I think this Memphis team is dangerous. You know, they're just dangerous. They know how to play with each other. So I see Memphis, you know, closing this out. But it'd be a big, I tell you, it'd be a big hit for the NBA ratings wise. I think a lot of people want to see the Clippers. OKC if it goes down. Then it's a serious thing.
Absolutely. As I stated, you know, if Blake Griffin is healthy, you know, because the Spurs aren't 100% healthy, I think that probably the Clippers present the best opportunity for the West. Now, you know, because
yes, that's what folks said.
Just because, you know, even if Westbrook were healthy, you know, I just think they have the depth to give Miami trouble.
All right, well, it's about that time. We're going to go hard and paint tonight. So, I'm going to let you go first. And you can choose a superstar.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you putting me first. I'm going to go with
You can choose somebody from this game, too.
No, I'm going to go with Tony Allen from Memphis Grizzlies. He's back to defending at that to the point where he was when he was with Boston, being one of the best perimeter scorers. Defensive stoppers, and also his offensive game is starting to come around in the playoffs. So I'm gonna go with Tony Allen.
Well, I'm gonna go with Hoya first. I'm gonna go with Jeff Green to go hard in the paint, man. Jeff Green, I think he has had a very good series against the New York Knicks. I think he's brought his money up because it's all about money when it comes to the NBA. It's all about your money. I think he's brought his money up, and I think now he's definitely a crucial part to the Boston Celtics' future from the way he's playing this series. So I got Jeff Green having a good game. And hopefully maybe leading Boston to a victory and taking this thing back to Boston. So I got Jeff Green going hard in the paint. Anyway, cool. I'm going to give you the score right now. Right now, Knicks are down 7, 52-45. Titan Challenge on the line. He's shooting 1. So we won't be able to update you anymore because the show is about to be over. But I'll just say that Titan Challenge made the other free throw, so now the Knicks are only down 6. But it's the Urban Sports on Eyes Radio. So you make sure you visit the Eyes Radio website, which is www.eyesradio.com. To listen to us on our official website, just visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. So you make sure you check out the Urban Sports Scene. And You can email us if you want to at urbansports@eyesradio.com.
Cool, man. It's been one. It's been real. We'll see you guys next week.
Deuces.
You dig?
Sayonara, bitches.